Good morning, everybody. Glad that you are here, especially if you are here for the first time. Really glad that you came over, whether you're in this room or whether you're next door in our communion venue. Now, I know for a fact that some of you have come because you got something from us in the mail that was just the slightest bit provocative. And you said, now that's kind of interesting. And I want to tell you why we sent that out, because I keep hearing, and I bet you have, any number of people who say in some shape, form, or fashion, oh, I love God or I love Jesus, but I'm just done with the church. And I can kind of understand it, really, because Jesus is easy to love. Jesus came. He lived the perfect life for us. He died on the cross for us and for our sins. He conquered the grave for us on the third day. He offers us grace and forgiveness and hope for our lives and purpose. What's not to love about Jesus? The church, on the other hand, full of broken people, full of sinful people, people who sometimes miscommunicate, people who have feelings, who get hurt. Things can get complicated. And so I want to say, if you carry a church hurt from somewhere along the way in your past, and you decided, well, maybe I'll just go over and start a new school year at this place, I would never make light of the hurt that you experienced or try to gaslight you into thinking that didn't happen. I'm sure that it happened. And I'm sorry that it happened. But what I want you to see in our talk today and in the coming weeks is that brokenness in the church is actually not a new thing. There's nothing new about it at all. As a matter of fact, we're starting in a series today that we're going to spend the whole fall on, going through a letter in the New Testament written by the great Christian leader called Apostle Paul. And he's writing to a church that had all sorts of dysfunction. They had divisions, they had conflict, they had confusion, sexual immorality, gossip, people playing spiritual one-upmanship, arguments and comparisons that were going. I mean, it was just a cauldron of brewing potential church hurts that were happening. Now, next week, we're going to go back and start at the beginning of the letter. Today, though, we're going to have sort of a shotgun start, and we're going to catapult right over to chapter 12 of this letter. The letter is called 1 Corinthians. So why don't you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you need a Bible, just wave at one of the ushers. They have them, and they're coming down right now, and they'll be glad to spot you on, or you can even keep it. It's our gift to you as we start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, let me get us going by asking this question. Why did Jesus create the church in the first place? I mean, isn't really the Christian faith about having a personal relationship with Christ? Like, I invite Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of unrighteousness. Isn't it a personal relationship that he came to have with me? Yes, but not a private relationship. And so let's talk about this. Well, why can't it just be a private, personal relationship? Why can't I just love Jesus and read my Bible and pray and listen to a few good Christian podcasts every week and give a little money here and serve some people there and skip all the complications of church? Why can't I do that? Well, this is exactly what Paul was trying to explain in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's let him answer. Look at verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now he says, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now what he's saying is, you are the body. He's not saying you are the body of Christ and you are the body of Christ. You're not completely the body of Christ. He was using a plural in the Greek, in Texas terms, y'all are the body of Christ. That's what he's saying here. All of y'all together are the body of Christ. Now go back up to verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many members. And so if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. So what is he hammering on? He's hammering on the fact that our body, Christ's body, is comprised of all of us, and all of us have parts to play. You may be a finger, you may be a hand, you may be a foot, some of us are a mouth. We all have a role to play in the body, he's saying. That's the whole point. But there's no redundancy. The eye isn't the hand isn't the foot isn't the ear. And you know this because you would never look at a human body and you would never say, well, you know what would just make this thing a whole lot better if the whole thing was an elbow. That would make no sense. The strength of anybody's physical body is the fact that all of the parts are working together in unity together. So if you're a note taker, I want you to notice three things today. Jot them down. The first one is this. You need the body. You need the body. Okay? If you say, nah, I don't think I really need the body. I'm good. I've got Jesus and everything is just great. Well, I'm going to try and illustrate to you why you're not quite in touch with reality. Now, what this is a hand. I got it from the morgue. No, not really. It's a model I got from Amazon. And so here's what I'm going to try to illustrate to you. Suppose this disembodied hand could speak, and suppose I was just to have a conversation and to say to this hand, well, look at you, hand. You're all by yourself over there. How are you doing? And the hand said to me, I'm doing just fine. This is the way I want it. There's no germs in here. I'm all good by myself. Really? Yes, I'm all good. Are you really, though? I mean, don't you think maybe if you were attached to the rest of a body, you could actually like go some places and you could even eat some food and you could see more of the world than you're seeing? Because I really think you could have a lot fuller life than you're having right now, trying to live disembodied, severed from the rest of the body. The hand needs the body. The same way that a football player, we're getting ready for football season. How silly would it be if somebody got all suited up with pads and they're walking down the street and you're like, hey, you play football? Yes, I play football. What team are you on? I'm not on a team. Well, that would make no sense. Then you're not really a football player. You got to have a team. Or a first chair violinist kind of needs an orchestra if you're going to be a first chair. You know, and so it is with Christians. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a believer, you need connection to some other believers. And this isn't true because I'm saying it. I'm saying it because God's word says this is true. And yet, people consistently try to show, I can do this autonomously. And yet, I see over and over and over people who sever themselves from the body and just sort of pull back from the body, and you check up on them a year or two or three later and nothing vibrant is happening in their souls. Things have grown stagnant and they feel like I don't have the purpose, and it's just I'm not feeling so close to God as I once felt. And I wonder why. Could it be that you severed yourself from the body? I'll illustrate even further. There's a situation that happens, I don't know, maybe four times a year. A staff person will say, hey, do you remember the Joneses? It's like, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. Well, they left the church. Oh my, why did they leave the church? Well, they said the church really failed them. I said, well, good heavens, how did we fail? What happened? well, something bad was happening, and the church just didn't show up the way they needed. I said, well, question number one, which small group were they in? Well, they weren't in a small group. Oh, okay. Well, which serve team were they on? Oh, they weren't in a serve team. Okay. Where did they typically just sit when they came? Well, it's kind of hard to say because they didn't come a whole lot, actually. But did they ever call and say, hey, we're in crisis. Would you have anybody who could help? No, actually, they never called. Do you see how silly this is? Because what I'm hearing is, okay, so you're telling me that they were disembodied, they were severed from the rest of the body, they hadn't stepped in, and yet when something bad happened to them and they're like, where's my body? Where is the body of Christ? Then they're mad because we weren't there. We don't do mental telepathy. We have to have a proximity. That's how the body works. And so you need the body. I think, though, sometimes people who have carried a church hurt here or there, they say, well, I'm just leaving. Okay. Well, where are you going? Well, I don't know. Well, do me this favor. Get somewhere. And if you're here today because you needed to leave, and sometimes that does happen. And again, I'm not making light. If there was hurt, and certainly if there was abuse somewhere in the church that happened to you, and I'm terribly sorry. So you might need to leave and have a new start somewhere that is healthier. On the other hand, maybe it's you that needs to be healthier, because maybe you were at a healthy enough place and they were trying to tell you something and you just didn't want to hear it. And so you need to get healthier. But the last thing that I would want to see you do is just pull away and just say, I don't need the church, because that's neither practical and it's certainly not biblical. But let me illustrate positively, flipping the coin over what the body of Christ is when it's working right. Several months ago, a man in our church died, and so I went over to his home to begin planning for the memorial service. And the wife is Ann, and I knocked on the door, and the door was answered by Kim. I've known Kim for years. Kim is not in that family. But I said, well, hello, Kim. And she said, hey, come on in. And then Ann came up and gave Kim a big hug and said, do you know, my small group is the best group. They have just poured out so much for us here. And Kim, she just even moved in for the last 2 weeks because she just knew we were going to need a hand with all the stuff that was happening in the final 2 weeks. And we planned that service, and it was a lovely service that we had. And I remember when we were walking to the car, Ann said to me, I just don't know how anybody could go through life not being a part of the body of Christ. I can't imagine having tried to do this all on my own. Well, you don't have to. That's why we're here. That's why Christ left us to be a new community for one another, so that we can rejoice with those who are rejoicing, so that we can weep with those who are weeping. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. Now, you know that that is true in your physical body. If you're grilling outside and you accidentally forget to put the big glove thing on and you grab the skillet and it's like, no! Now you've got a red hand, you're blistering, it's throbbing. Is your hand the only thing that's aching? No, kind of your whole body feels miserable. Right? Because the rest of your body doesn't have the ability to say, well, it just sucks to be you out there, you know, but we're good up here. No, your whole body feels it. And that's the way it is with the body of Christ. that when one part is suffering, we all are feeling it. We're moving in towards that. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. You need the body. Now, there's a second thing that he's wanting to tell us. The body needs you. The body needs you. Verse 12 again, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And then Paul almost, since he's almost chuckling as he's writing this, because he's using such metaphorical and sort of personified language. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the eye, verse 21, and if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, all the parts are needed. You need the body, but the body needs you. So I was talking to somebody who is relatively new here at Faith Bridge, and she was just saying, you know, when we first came, we were just so impressed. It was just like organized, and there's people out in the parking lot, and there's greeters and friendly, and why don't you get some coffee, and why don't you come over here, and just like, wow, it was amazing. And she said, you know, I figured this place must have hundreds of people on the staff. And I said, really? She's like, yeah, I figured they have a huge staff. And so let me demystify this in case you've come in and you have the same perception. That's not reality at all. There's about 25 or 30 of us who are full-time on the staff. That's our full-time we're here every day, and that's what. And then there's at least that many and more who are part-time. We have a lot of part-time people in various ministries who come in for maybe 20 hours or that sort of thing. And yet, to make everything happen here that happens here in the course of a month, do you know how many people it takes? It takes roughly 1,000 people. You know where we get those people? From the body. From you, roughly 300 every week. We try not to ask any person to have to show up every week as a volunteer. So we have teams that work, first Sunday team, second Sunday team, third Sunday team, fourth Sunday team. So we're sharing the load along the way. But that's what makes the body work. And that's why I say the body needs you. So if you've come in and you're like, man, this place really got it organized and it's running, it's not by accident. It's because people stepped forward and said, well, you know, I might not be able to sing a solo or preach a sermon, but I got a warm smile and I can greet people and I can do this and I'm organized and I can keep people safe in the parking lot. And I would like to do that. And along the way, they discover community and they start to have some friends. And they start to meet some people. And that's where they begin to grow in their faith and come to a greater awareness of the value of the body of Christ. I was thinking of yet another person when I was seeing the Shop Talk video there during the plugs. Because I think it was a year or two ago, Danny did a talk and he asked the men a question. He asked them, who would your five people be if something happened to you? Who would be your pallbearers? And there was a man sitting there who began to inventory and think to himself, I don't know if I have one. And he said, I got to do something. So he signed up and he came and he got involved in the men's ministry and then he got involved in some other things and wanted, and his life has changed, his wife's has changed. It's a powerful story. So you need the body, the body needs you as well. There is a reciprocal relationship that's happening here. That's part of health when you're stepping in and using your gifts and your abilities. So the other night, our elder son, that's Wesley, he was going out the door. And I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going to have dinner with Jay and another guy or two. I knew who Jay was because, not because Jay is in his young 20s. Jay's every bit my age, and maybe more. But Jay has a great story I guess it was 12 years ago or more, he was in need of a lung transplant. And because he was dying. And wonder of wonders, prayers were answered, and a match, donor match, came open, and he got the lung transplant that he needed to have new lungs that he could live. And of course, you never know if it's really gonna hold, is it gonna work, rejection, not rejection, all that, but it worked. And he's still going. And it's been a powerful story. But I'll tell you why I'm bringing up Jay. Just because he was on my mind with what Wesley said when he was going to dinner the other night. Because see, Jay, when he got that new lung, he could have just propped his feet up and said, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive and I have more time." And he could have just propped his feet up and said, "So now I'm just going to take it easy and chill and try not to let anything bad happen to me from here on and see if I can ride this thing out as long as I can." But he didn't do that. He went over to the FSM, Faithbridge Student Ministry, and he said, "Hey, you know, I like kiddos. I was once one." And so he said, "Yeah, I'll sign up to lead a group of what was then sixth grade boys." Can you imagine? You just got lungs and you sign up to go hang out with sixth grade boys who are just chuckling all the time because of farting. And and he would corral them and they would have their Bible study. And he journeyed with them through sixth grade and he journeyed with them through seventh and eighth and ninth, 10th, 11th and 12th. And now, even in adulthood, he still reaches out and says, "Hey, let's get dinner. Let me hear what's going on in your life." And so I share that story just to emphasize what I've been saying. You need the body, but the body needs you. If Jay had never stepped forward, my Wesley wouldn't have had any number of times he's quoted Jay over the years. So, well, you know, we were talking about this in our group, and it might very well be something that he'd heard me say five times, but because Jay said it, it's like, "Now that is brilliant," you know? And but that's the power of the body. We need others who are speaking into the lives of our kids and into our lives. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ when it's working right and when it's working well. Verse 18, "But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose." In other words, he's put something inside of you, your gifts, your personality, your experiences. I mean, some of you, you would have an ability I would not have because you've been through divorce. And you can spot a marriage and you're like, "Oh boy, that's pretty raggedy right there." And you might be able to step towards them. Or maybe you've fought an addiction and you can sit on a cross and say, I already know. You don't need to BS me. I know what you're struggling with. Or maybe you were a lonely kiddo when you were growing up. Or maybe a skeptic, or maybe you had a parent who got way in over their head and you just see that. You can just feel it because that was your life. And you know, God wastes nothing. And so one of the ways that the body becomes powerful and meaningful is you say, "How could I use what I've endured and leverage that for good, and leverage that for God?" And you'll be surprised at how he'll open up door and say, here's how I want you to serve. And I hope that you will. Because nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Which leads to the final thing I want you to jot down, and that is, you need the body, but the body needs you. So get into circulation. That's the third thing. Verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body, y'all are the body of Christ, and individually, each of you are members of it." And so what was Paul saying? He was saying it's an all skate. Church is an all skate. It's not, remember what we talked about if you were here 2 weeks ago. We, you know, when you come to worship, it's not just a few of us up here and we're doing a performance and you're like, okay, that's pretty good. A, B, C minus. I don't know about that. You're not the audience. Who's the audience? God's the audience, right? We're in this together. Some of us just get up and we're kind of the leaders, but all of us are the body of Christ and he wants us all in circulation. I've told you this before, but back to school always reminds me of it when I was a kiddo. And one of the things that I enjoyed about back to school season was that you got your little packet of new school supplies and you sharpened your pencils and all that good stuff. And I remember I'd get a new box of crayons, and there was just nothing better than a new box of crayons. 8 crayons, 16 crayons. The new smell, just those crayons, and I'd dump them out on my bed and look at them and hold them up and line them up and restack them in. I never did much drawing, but I like to look at my crayons a whole lot. And I don't know, it just represented newness and a new season and all of that sort of, until I got in fourth grade. And in fourth grade, you got to move up and go to Miss McCullough's art class. And I remember we walked into that art room and there was drawings all over her wall that students had made. There was just color everywhere and pictures. It was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And then she had us sit down at tables of four, and each of those tables had a cigar box in the middle with some of the roughest looking, ugliest looking crayons. They were broken in half and they had the paper torn off and they were shaved down. I was like, oh my gosh, how could anybody ever get anything pretty with a crayon like that? And it dawned on me, the only way that art like that happened is because crayons like these got utilized. I think the problem with many of us as followers of Jesus is we're trying to stay in the box. We're trying to stay pointy-tipped and unfazed and with no paper torn off of us, not being utilized, and then wondering, why do I feel so frustrated and unvaluable at the church? It must be something wrong with the church. Well, maybe it's not something wrong with the church. Maybe it's just that you're not throwing your all in to what he said. This is what I want for you to do. I put gifts and abilities inside of you because I want you to use them to make a difference in other people's lives. And so my challenge is for you to do a searching inventory and ask yourself, is it time maybe for me to climb out of my crayon box and give my whole self to the Lord and just say, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I've been trying to play it safe and keep it all organized and to myself and isolated. And I see that's not really leading to anything like what you describe as the abundant life, but I want life abundant. And I realize the only way I can get it is if I go all in the way that you went all in for us, Jesus. Because see, he didn't die and rise to build an audience. He died and rose to build a body. And you all are the body of Christ. Which brings me all the way back to where we started. So back to that mailer. Love God, hate church. Maybe that phrase describes somebody that you know. Maybe you really do love Jesus. But maybe somewhere along the way, somebody hurt you. And as I've already said, if that did happen, I'm terribly sorry. But I want you to ponder this as we come to a close. Barring from a preacher in San Antonio who I heard do a message on church hurt. And he said something that I couldn't shake it. Nobody was ever hurt more by the church than Jesus. Yet nobody loves the church more than Jesus. Think about it. All the religious leaders opposed him and misrepresented him and plotted against him, and they put him on a cross, and then even his most loyal advocates, his small group of 12 that he'd poured everything into, one of them sold him out for some pieces of silver, and another denied even knowing him, and saying, I don't even know what you're talking about, that Jesus. And yet Jesus never gave up on his people. He rose from the dead and he went right back to those same imperfect disciples. Right there with Peter, who had denied him three times, and he restored him and said, hey, let's get back in the game again. And then he filled the whole collection of deeply imperfect people with his Holy Spirit, which is perfect. And he said, now I'm going to send you out to change the world. And roundaboutly, that's how come we're here 2,000 years later. Because what they did cascaded down to a next generation, and that cascaded down, and that case kind of, and here we are today. And so perhaps you're here today because you need a new start. I'm glad you came, and I hope that you realize Jesus has never given up on the church, and you don't have to either. Maybe the way back isn't trying to protect yourself and sit farther and farther away from people until they finally prove themselves worthy of your trust. Maybe healing will come when you carefully and wisely and courageously dare to start getting close to some more people. So here's what I'm asking. In the next few minutes, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to dismiss us to go out to the Ministry Expo. I told you it was coming last week. If you weren't here, I'm telling you right now, it's here. And you probably saw it when you walked in. If you're over in the communion venue, just hook a left when you walk out of the West Center Court, come across the plaza outdoor, and come on over here. And take a few minutes. This is your opportunity to say, you know what? I don't want to keep being disembodied, but I think it's time for me to attach, to connect, to step in, and to see if God might have something more and better for you. What sort of opportunities are there? There's all sorts of opportunities. There's men's, and there's women's, and there's moms, and there's regen, and there's re-engage, and there's some existing home groups, and we're rebuilding those. There's all sorts of serve teams. We need ushers. We need parkers. There's ways that you can step in at whatever level you say, I think I could give this much. Well, then give it. Step into that and see if you don't become the beneficiary as the whole body becomes the beneficiary as well. Let's pray. Thanks, Lord, for your word. It's timeless, it's truthful, and I thank you for the chance to just revisit some of these thoughts that remind us why you did create the church. It's not that you created a church and then said, well, ho-hum, we guess we got to come up with a mission for them to do something. You came up with the mission for us to love you, to love others, to go out and change the world. And then together, people came and formed the church. And that was the new community, your body, your representation here on earth. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have not been who you've called us to be as the body of Christ, where we've separated ourselves or pulled back, or when we've operated in the flesh, not in the spirit, when we've said things that might well have been hurtful and need to go back and make some amends for those. That's what we want, Lord, is health in the body, because we know nobody is perfect and no church is perfect, because every church has people and no people are perfect. But your Holy Spirit is perfect and leading us perfectly as we surrender to you in becoming fully who you've created us to be. for the rest of our days here on earth. So as we go, Lord, I pray that you would put your blessing upon each person as we get our little breakfast sandwiches, but more important, as we walk around and meet some people and say, you know what, I think I'll sign up on this list and maybe this one and maybe this one. I'm going to try a few things. Not that every single one will be the right one, but there's got to be the right one in here. I just got to put myself a little out there. I got to climb out of my crayon box and say, let's try this. And my prayer is, Lord, that you will do what you did for both the ladies who are on our screen today, for Andrea and April, and just how you've changed both of their lives as they decided to step in to what you're doing and found a whole new world of vibrancy and meaning. So won't you send us with your blessing as we go, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.